Paul writing to Timothy. You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, which persecutions I endured. Yet from all of them the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and impostors will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God, and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work.
Thanks very much, Derek, and please do keep that passage open. Well, we live in an age of technology, don't we? At the end of the 1980s, the philosopher Francis Fukuyama wrote an essay called The End of History. And what he predicted was, in fact, he had a real confidence that with the spread of technology and the spread of liberal democracy, we were now about to enter into a final phase of history. Technological advances, technological progress. Millennials can't remember a time before the internet, and centennials can't remember a time before the iPad. This year, we're told, it is going to be the year that artificial intelligence will grow. Amazon Echo can now do your shopping, speak, and Alexa does it for you. A couple of days ago, an artificial intelligence robot called Libratus beat four professional card players. Technology is there, and it is there to make life easier, progress, to equip us to be more productive. It applies at work as well. It's there to help us. And so we're equipped and we're trained as well, aren't we, to do our jobs, to do them better. But I wonder, how confident, how equipped do you feel as a Christian, as a believer at work? We want to live and speak for Jesus as believers. And sometimes maybe we just feel like we're in survival mode, but I wonder, how equipped do you feel? Well, 2 Timothy is a letter to Pastor Timothy from the Apostle Paul. It's a letter from a minister rather than to us directly, but it does tell us what kind of ministry we would want to get behind. And in a sense, we are all in ministry together if we're believers, except our ministry is in a different place. It is in the workplace. Paul's purpose for Timothy and us is there. If you look at the outline on the other side, is there. His aim in the whole book is this, that Timothy would unashamedly guard the gospel. That's his aim in the book and his aim for us. And it is something of a crisis situation. Paul, you see, he is on death row, and the gospel is under threat from false teachers. Last week, the Trump administration got into a dispute with the press over how many people attended the inauguration. And Kellyanne Conway gave us a new phrase for our times, alternative facts. Well, here in the church, there are false teachers offering up alternative facts. You see, there are two competing gospels. The facts are that the gospel is a gospel of the future, of a resurrection life and immortality. But the alternative facts that are being offered up are that you can have everything now because the resurrection has already happened. And there are two competing ways of living that flow from these two competing gospels. Paul's gospel means suffering now. But the alternative life is comfort now, living for self now, pleasure now, having it all now. Well, the temptation then for Timothy in the light of all of that is to go off message. Not so much, actually not off message, but rather to go offline. To go quiet, to go low profile, to keep the gospel to himself. To be ashamed of the gospel. And if he does that, he will stay out of trouble. But if he does that also, the gospel will be in trouble. Now, Paul isn't trying to lay a whole load of guilt on Timothy. In fact, he's trying to encourage him. I'm not trying to lay guilt on us. But he wants to encourage them and us. Because if he sticks with the gospel, he'll be fully equipped. If we stick with the gospel, we'll be fully equipped. And so therefore, he says two things, and they're there on our sheet. Continue in the gospel, and you're competent through the gospel. Those are our two headings. First of all, continue in the gospel. Paul says, stay away from the alternative facts. Stick with the facts. Stick with the gospel. Take a look at verse 14. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it. He says, remain, stay, stick, continue in the gospel that you learned from me. Something that you've firmly believed, that you become firmly convinced of. Well, why is it that he is so convinced? So convinced it's true. Well, he saw it lived out. He saw it worked out. That's what the context shows us. Let me read out some of the verses, the surrounding verses. Start at verse 10. You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium and at Lystra, which persecutions I endured. And then look down to verse 14 again, where he says, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation. You see, he didn't just fact-check it. He life-checked it. He saw it lived out by Paul, who was like a father to him. He saw it lived out by his grandmother, Lois, and his mother, Eunice, talked about at the beginning of the letter. He saw it lived out. Steadfastness, endurance, was something he especially needed because, verse 11, the thing that he was facing was persecution. That's what he had to endure. He mentions it three times. And so he needs to stand firm, stick with this gospel, and so do we. Now, maybe that doesn't sound very appealing. Only standing firm? Well, no doubt the false teachers said, well, that wasn't very progressive. If you want to make progress, let me offer you some alternative facts, alternative insights. Verse 13. While evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Well, actually, here's the progress. Bad to worse. That's the progress on offer. You may say it's very progressive, but it's not the kind of progress that's very attractive at all. And yet people go for it. They're deceived by it. They even deceive themselves. They may be very clever with words too, but they've convinced themselves of a fiction. They've believed their own press, the alternative facts. Maybe people even around you, maybe even in your church, will do that. And so, says Paul to Timothy, to us, stick with the gospel. But the alternative facts, the alternative life seems so popular, doesn't it? One person recently was very honest and said this to me. If God is real, if he's really real, well, how come others seem so fine? It's okay without him. It seems like that. People around us living for now, the alternative facts, maybe even in our churches. And so maybe it can leave us feeling inadequate. Feeling that the facts, the gospel, the God's promises, his words are not enough. Well, secondly then, competent through the gospel. Look at verse 15 with me, if you would. From childhood, you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. That, here's the purpose, the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. It's talking about the promises of the Bible, the scriptures, what's been written down. For Timothy, in the first instance, that was the Old Testament. But for us, the New Testament as well. Now, these are famous words here in this passage. All scripture breathed out by God. Famous words that are used to often defend the authority of the Bible, its reliability. Sometimes that's referred to as the verbal inspiration of the Bible. Words that are expired, breathed out by God. Now, we do believe that all scripture, all the Bible, comes from God and therefore it's reliable. As Chris Green has put it, the Bible isn't an unsupervised playground where anyone can prove what they like. But the question is, why is it that Paul tells Timothy this? Well, I think it is because he wants him to know that it is reliable so that he's convinced that therefore, as a result, it is sufficient. It is enough. So that with the Bible in his hand and in his heart, he's fully equipped, and so are we. Which is where things end in verse 17. It is enough. It is all from God, and it is all that you need. It is like a Swiss Army knife. I don't know whether anyone here owns a Swiss Army knife. Maybe you got it growing up. Maybe you were a scout or something like that, and you used it to whittle sticks or do something like that. Well, the great thing about a Swiss Army knife, which seems to have the kind of hopes of the Swiss nation resting on it, that is their kind of the weapon that they're all given. Well, you don't need any other knife, do you? That's the point. It has got everything. There's a can opener is there, the corkscrew is there, the knife is there, the saw is there, the screwdriver is there. Everything is there, and therefore you don't need any other knife. Often we say that these talks are for those who are unconvinced, for sceptics at one end of the spectrum, and at the other end of the spectrum for people who are convinced believers, and everyone else in between. And that is because God's words are useful for everyone, convinced, unconvinced, alike. Because with God's words, we are fully equipped. Let's see that in the passage. Verse 15 again. From childhood, you've been acquainted with the sacred writings which are able to make you wise for salvation. God's words, useful for those who are not yet Christians, looking into Christian things. It makes them wise for salvation. Now, in 2 Timothy, salvation isn't merely now. It is ultimately, the end point is in the future. This is what it says in chapter 2, verse 10, if you're taking notes. Let me read it for us. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. So that's why we run these talks. So that people looking into Christianity can hear the gospel. That's why we try to make these talks accessible. So that we have titles that are relevant for guests. Now we know we can do that better. So please do let us know if there are ways we can do that. But that is why we run these talks. But also, if we're believers, we need to keep being reminded of this so that we're reminded what we've been saved from and, on the other hand, what we've been saved for, especially in the middle of a busy working week. But in addition to that, like a good Swiss Army knife, it helps keep us sharp, spiritually sharp, in a work context. I heard someone say recently that when they prioritise hearing the gospel midweek, well, they're more likely to have an opportunity to speak for Jesus. It doesn't happen always, but they're more likely. Maybe someone asks, where were you at lunchtime? And you tell them. Or maybe there's a conversation that starts and someone suddenly says something that gives an opportunity. And because you're sharp, you're more likely to take the opportunity when it arises. That kind of water cooler moment or that conversation over lunch, whatever it may be. But we know here at the Moorgate Talks that most of the conversations, most of these opportunities, they're not in this room. That's why actually reading the Bible one-to-one with someone is such a great opportunity, a great thing to do. And because it's so flexible. It's something that we're going to be focusing on. We hope to focus on a bit more in this year ahead. And we'd love to help you with that. And we're going to hear shortly more about that. So first of all then, God's word is useful for those looking into Christianity. But secondly, it is useful for Christians. Verse 16. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. It is useful for all of those things. Now sometimes talks like these feel like an oasis in the middle of a busy and stressful working week. And it is that. And the gospel is a great encouragement, isn't it? But I don't know about you. When I hear the word oasis, I think of palm trees and holidays. And maybe a health spa or something like that. But the picture here in our passage, these four words, well, it's a little bit less comfortable than the spa version. Because God's words are less comfortable. But we need them. I need God's words to set me straight, to keep me on the straight and narrow. The four words for that. We need teaching and reproof when faced with, well, those alternative facts. We need correction and training when faced with alternative ways of living. When others say, you can have it all now. Live a life of comfort. Love yourself. Love pleasure. Be good to yourself. Have a life of ease. Well, these words then keep us pressing on. They keep us keeping on. And finally, verse 17 tells us these words equip us to do this for others. And so therefore we need one another. Now, many of us, I'm sure, get great Bible teaching in in our Sunday churches, in small groups in our churches. But sometimes people ask, sometimes people ask, well, why do I need a lunchtime talk as well? I get everything that I need in my Sunday congregation. Well, I think talks like these help equip us, particularly in a work context and in this part of town. You see, we spend most of our time at work rather than at home. That is the thing that we all have in common here. We work in the same part of town and often doing very similar kinds of roles and jobs. Some differences, I know at one end of the spectrum, we have people who are sort of lawyers and maybe do something in finance. And at the other end, we've got people who are more towards Silicon Roundabout and doing slightly more tech jobs and so on. So there are differences, obviously. But we have lots in common in the kind of roles that we do and in the place that we work. And so we've got a unique opportunity, I think, at these talks to be equipped to encourage one another midweek. Or maybe you wonder, well, why a talk? Why not a Bible study? Well, we do have Bible studies. They're called our partnership groups, and we meet at different times, at different frequencies. We do that to fit around people's working lives. But also a talk, I think, is unique, a unique way of equipping us to stand side by side and encouraging one another as we do that. As we, in our case, sit rather than stand, I know that. But as we sit side by side and get behind the public proclamation of the gospel. Now, this isn't very British, but look around the room at one another. Just do that for a minute. I don't know how you think of that, but I think that's pretty encouraging. As maybe you're the only Christian in your workplace. Or maybe there's only a couple of you in your workplace or in your department. As we together get behind the public proclamation of the gospel. Well, I'm sure you've got questions about some of that, and please do ask if you have them. But for now, why don't I pray, and then I'm going to hand it over to Claire. Let's pray. But as for you, continue in what you have learned. Competent, equipped for every good work. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that you'd help us to stick with the gospel, knowing that we're equipped by it. And please would you increasingly equip us with it. In Jesus' name, amen.